You're listening to the Dueling Dungeon Masters podcast, the tabletop role-playing podcast with not one, but two game masters controlling the mayhem. That's twice the excitement, twice the conflict, and twice the fun. Now, without further ado, here's your hosts, Alicia and Michael. Take it away, you two.
Hello, adventurers, and welcome to another episode, another campaign of the Dueling Dungeon Masters. My name is Michael. I am one of your Dueling Dungeon Masters, but I'm old news. We have a new Dungeon Master this campaign. Please, Alicia, introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alicia Filiolo. I am a certified geek specialist and work for a company called Geek Therapeutics, where we take things like this in tabletop role-playing and make it therapeutic. You can find me across all socials at Alicia Filiolo. If you can't spell that, you might have to look up at your screen or somewhere else because it takes a lot to learn. Maybe even at the end of this season. I'm really excited to be here. I'm nervous to have two Dungeon Masters playing. There's a lot of fun things that are going to happen, and I can't wait to get on this journey of oops with this amazing cast.
Speaking of amazing cast, we are going to let everyone introduce themselves. We have a fantastic new cast, well, some old faces, young faces, but old faces, and we have a new player involved as well. So without further ado, I will just hand it over to you guys, and you can tell us who you are, what you're all about, and the character you're playing.
Heck yeah. So hi, I'm the new guy. I'm Andrew. I'm from Live from the Apocalypse. Usually that's where I'm hanging out streaming TTRPGs with a wonderful group of nerds. And now I'm here with a different wonderful group of nerds because this game sounded amazing and I wanted to jump in and they were gracious enough to let me join. You can follow me on Twitter at BoomManGrenade. And for tonight or for the next couple of sessions, I'll be playing Bobby Sawyer, who's just big old lovable jock who's super into baseball, chewing gum, and high school shenanigans. He's a very loving brother to his sister, Sammy, but doesn't always get what she's talking about when it comes to science.
Hi, I am Beverly Provost. I'm an old face, young face. You can find me on Instagram at Beverly Provost Official or on the TikToks at Nerdy Native Gal. Tonight, I will be playing Sammy, who is 7 years old, but I am going to the middle school science fair because I'm in middle school. Because I'm pretty much the smartest person in this podunk town. But my brother Bobby's really great, and he's coming to the science fair with me.
I think I'm next. Hi, everyone. My name is Nick Mason, and you can find me online at Nick Mason with a zero. And if you are a fan of Part-Time Heroes, you may recognize my voice from the season one of Dueling Dungeon Masters, the podcast, as the prickly and petite Thorn. Let's see. I am a former musical theater performer who somehow found their way into environmental conservation, but I'm a longtime lover of fantasy and sci-fi and all things of role-playing games, both tabletop and LARP. And I have coined myself a professional do-gooder with an overactive imagination. And I think that kind of sums it up. Tonight, I will be playing Paul Clark, who is a 16-year-old Boy Scout and who just moved back to his mom's hometown of Buckley, Ohio, and it's not going so great. He's trying to keep his chin up. He is a giant goody two-shoes. It's the kind of kid who his mom didn't give him a curfew, but he gave himself one. So I think whatever happens throughout this crazy adventure is really going to shake things up. He's not great with change, but we'll see how it goes.
Hello, my name is Mark. You can find me at Magic Man Mark again. You might recognize my voice because I am a Dueling Dungeon Master as well. I'm not tonight, don't worry. I'm playing Rhonda tonight. She's a single mom. So back with her son, Paul. She works her ass off, so he has opportunities that she doesn't because she's from this town. And it's Buckley, Ohio. Okay. let's do it.
All right. Yeah. I'm so excited for our adult. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? Actually, this idea spurred from Mark's brain while we were just chatting one day. He just came up with the phrase, "Honey, I shrunk the kids on bikes." And that really stuck in the back of my head. So when we decided to do this next campaign, I was like, we got it. So of course, this is our take on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And we're using the Kids on Bikes system. We will tell you how that goes as we play, but for the most part, we're just going to skip that What I want to talk about is the Dueling Dungeon Masters, which is the system that we will be doing for this. So obviously there's two Dungeon Masters, and what we're going to do is we will take turns telling the story. I've come up with some stuff, Alicia has come up with some stuff, and we've come up with some stuff together, and it's just going to be a story of twists and turns. Everybody is in a turn order. Every round we will be flipping a coin to see which Dungeon Master is taking over for that entire round, while the other Dungeon Master can give some fill, some background information, or some just little details here and there. They also have the ability, once per session, what we can steal from the other person, because we really want to throw a wrench in the gears, or just there's something in the back of our minds we really want to do. So, and that's basically it. That's how we're going to play tonight. So if you're just joining us, thank you so much and welcome. And I think without further ado, we're going to get our first flip. If that's okay with Alicia.
Ah, here we go.
So exciting.
Okay.
Oh, please don't be those skulls.
Drum roll.
Well, Alicia, you don't have to worry because it's me.
Yes, thank the gods.
No worries. No worries. Woo! It's okay.
My intro would have been awesome, I swear.
I know it would have. I had no doubt. You can steal it right now if you want.
No. You take it. Go for it. You've got this.
Okay. So, in sheer blackness, the sun comes up on a cold spring morning in the small town of Buxley, Ohio. The frost begins to melt as the dew has settled on the grass, but the sun is now melting it away. It is still a very brisk, cold morning. Our camera pans down into this small town square where stores are beginning to open. People are unlocking their doors for their morning. And as the camera pans down, we see a sign hung over the middle of town square that says, "Go Buxley Terrapins." The camera slowly gets to the street level, and suddenly a car wheel drives by and whips the camera, spinning and flying out of control until it soars above this tiny town and then zooms back down to the ground and begins soaring through the streets. Shops pass by, shops then turn to houses, then turn into fields of, what did we say, corn and grasses.
Silos
of corn. And suddenly it makes a sharp right and passes directly into a bush, the leaves slapping the front of the camera as it soars through bushes. And out on the other side, it is now being struck by blades of grass as it hovers just on the top of the lawn of Buxley High. You hear the sound of, soon you hear the roar of a lawnmower getting louder and louder and louder, and the camera turns and is sucked into the blades of a push mower and spins in circles, blades of grass, dirt, rocks, and sand all swirling into one dark plane, and is suddenly shot out again, flying directly into the parking lot where the camera splats on the front of a wood-paneled station wagon. The windshield wipers begin to wipe, smearing this greasy green splat of a bug that we have been following this entire time. And the camera then passes through the windshield to the driver of this car. Sitting in the driver's seat of this station wagon is a young man by the name of Bobby Sawyer. Bobby, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So Bobby is a 16-year-old high school jock. He plays for the Buxley Fighting Terrapins, and they're going to go all the way this year. It's going to be great. And he's just got his, gym attire on, got his Walkman with new batteries ready to go, listening to a little bit of Tom Cochran on the radio, a little bit of Life is a Highway as cruising down into the parking lot, getting set up for the day. But yeah, he's just average-looking guy, big shoulders, got that lean fit frame going on. Looks more like he's into cardio than raw strength, but still a very fit build.
And sitting directly next to you in the passenger seat, readjusting nervously and anxiously her seatbelt, is Sammy Sawyer. Sam, Sammy?
Sammy is a 7-year-old kid Jean. She skipped a few grades and is on her way to the middle school science fair with her big brother. Sammy absolutely adores her big brother, cares more about him probably than any other human on the face of the planet. Which is not saying a lot because she doesn't really care for a lot of other humans. She spends most of her free time studying, reading, some gaming and internet, but even her internet searches and such here in 1992 are still based on educating herself and learning.
Yeah, Sammy, I'm really excited for the science fair, but I'm most especially excited because after the science fair, Bobby said we can go see the new Ferngully movie. And I like going to movies with my brother.
I'm really excited about this, to be honest with you. Now, you sure we don't have time to hit the gym first? Like, we gotta go right there?
You realize overtraining is a problem, and it might be detrimental to your hypertrophy if you overtrain too much.
No, no, Coach said overtraining is just training more. That's all it is. You gotta just get out there and, like, really get after it. You build the muscles by using them, not by resting them. Right? I don't want to make you late, so I'll skip the gym. I'll do a double later.
I get stressed out. I packed us some Dunkaroos and some Capri Suns for the movie snacks. It's in my Lisa Frank backpack in the back seat.
Excellent. Yes.
Go easy on the turns, please, because my project is really delicate, and I don't want you to jostle it around and break it.
Immediately, like, slows down and just takes, like, very careful turns to ensure. Sure. And everything is fine. Like, okay, I got you.
She pats Bobby on the head.
That's a good boy.
Knock it off.
Fantastic. We are going to actually, Bobby, can you give me a flight check of 5 to find a parking space very quickly?
Flight check
as it's starting to fill up. Yeah, it's just a flight of 5.
That's 5 on the dot.
Perfect. So you pull up and you really can't see anything. And suddenly out of the corner of your eye, this prime parking, princess parking right up front is waiting for you. And you get there just before the person is about to whip in. So you're able to back the car up and fit right in. As you are parking, our camera is going to pan over to another red smaller car, hatchback. It looks like it's seen better days. Some rust here, some chips there, and opening the car door, we see a young man by the name of Paul.
Oh, hi. My name is Paul, and I'm 16 years old. My mom and I just moved back to her hometown of Buxley, Ohio, and it's not going so great. I try to be optimistic, but my mom tells me to do. Don't let the a-holes get you down, she says, but hard to pick up and change your life in the middle of high school, but I'm making the best of it. There's a lot more nature around here than back in Columbus, which is great, and I've been a Boy Scout ever since I was old enough to join, but I'm working on my Eagle Scout rank now, so I'm keeping busy. It's weird. All the people here seem to care about is Friday night football and small town gossip, and they all seem to have their minds made up about me and my mom. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. That's what I try to do. Be resourceful and kind and brave. Buxley may be a tough place to fit in now, but I'm determined to leave it better than I found it. Scout's honor.
This is the inner monologue as he steps out and just stands up and looks over the parking lot of the new school that he's recently began attending. And stepping out of the driver's seat with just the slightest stumble, not a clumsy one, just a misstep, we see Rhonda.
Okay, great. Okay, he's got all of his stuff. Sorry. To fill him in, and then I have to swing by and get the laundry, and then I can go to, hey, Paul! Oh, Paul! Paul, don't forget to lock the door. Lock the door.
I locked the door, Mom. Is everything okay? I'm nervous. You
know, I mean, you know, we're behind. You know, we got stuck in traffic, and now I've got to, I'm opening and closing tonight, so, yeah.
Oh my gosh, is that Rhonda Sampson?
No, my name's Rhonda, but it certainly isn't Samson, Paul. We should head right on.
No, I know, Rhonda Samson. Oh my goodness, I have not seen you in ages.
Bethany Stinson. You got married to Fred Johnson, right?
So, oh my God, how do you remember?
Right. I'm not using that.
You look fantastic. You have to tell me what your routine is. How's your diet? Are you jazzercising? Well, you look fantastic, honey.
She puts a, what is it, bright colored leotard, is hanging out one of those, like, bleach, like, jean, the purses, the, like, it's got some buttons on it and stuff like that. So she puts the jazzercise thing back inside, and she's like, oh, no, you know, I'm just dropping Paul here off. And she keeps trying to walk Paul away from this woman.
Sure. Well, it was so lovely seeing you, Rhonda. Let's catch up after the science fair, okay?
Sure thing, sure thing.
And you quickly scurry off, you guys gather your things, and you start heading towards the gymnasium. And there is where we're going to get our next clip. So just establish the world and everybody. That is Alicia.
Woo woo, here we go. As you all are entering into the science fair, there's lots of commotion. And Sammy, you walk in, and where are you? What do you feel? Tell me what your experience is walking into this middle school event.
Sammy's definitely, yeah, she doesn't like it being in the cafeteria or like the assembly or even recess, like around a bunch of other kids. But she has a job and she's really proud of what she's made and excited to be here. So while I don't necessarily want to be around a lot of people, I got my big bro here, and I'm always safe with him. He gets me. So I'm just trying to find where I'm supposed to set stuff up, and I want to get my stuff ready and go in and show all these other kids how stupid they are.
As you're prepping to walk further into the cafeteria, Principal Horn, W-H-O-R-N, for anybody who needs to know, Principal Horn hurries up to you and looks down at you and says, Sammy, we're so excited that you could be here today. Let me show you where you're going to set your table. And, Bobby, can you pick some of that stuff up for her and come with us, please?
I've already got, you know what? I can, he shoves all the rest of the stuff he's carrying into one arm and picks up another thing. Like, sure, yeah, where are we going with this? Just arms full of just science shenanigans. This gym bag is still slung over his shoulder. All right,
Bobby,
yeah,
I told you, if you keep getting stronger, people are going to keep asking you to carry more stuff, even when your arms are clearly full. You keep lifting so much weight.
Something off of his pile.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was making up for skipping the gym this morning.
As Principal Horn is listening to this, she's giggling and pushing y'all towards the really good-sized table smack dab in the middle of the cafeteria for Sammy. As Sammy, you are setting up. Rhonda, this experience with Bethany seems to have left you a little nervous, unhinged. How are you feeling as you're walking into the school that you haven't seen in decades?
Yeah, it's the middle school. When she got into high school, she started working at the diner. So she just, kind of the last place she was a child, because she had to start working once she got into high school. So she didn't really do, so it's odd. I don't know. It feels dusty. I feel it on me. And it's, there's a little claustrophobia. That's how I can describe it, right?
Paul, do you notice your mom having this new weird experience as she's entering a building that you've never been in, but it seems that she probably has?
Totally. My I've been noticing a lot of things about my mom since we came back to Buxley. Like, weird conversations with strange ladies in the parking lot, and her acting kind of cagey when we walk inside the school. Mom, are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just, ghosts from a different life. Things never really change around here. You never really, yeah. Things never
change. Do you remember which locker was yours?
Oh, yes. 273. There's no... Okay, wait. Do we have time?
Wait, hold on, 254, 255, 254. Wait, we're almost there. Hold on.
Okay. Can I roll to see if I remember the
So I was gonna ask you to roll for grit, because I think this could be emotionally charging. So
sure.
Yes. Yeah. Please roll grit.
Okay. That is a 1 + 1, so a 2. Dang it.
How do you feel about that? Give me what that is for you.
Sure. I think she ear to the thing, and she's like, okay, 3 to the left, right, cross over, click. She, wait, hold on. And she tries it again, and she gets it. She's like, well, you know, they probably change these things every year anyway. And she like pops back up really quickly. And she's like, they always chose these things. This probably.
Yeah. Probably true. Fine.
And then she's just like.
That would have been cool though, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is somebody else's locker. Who knows what would have been in there. Private stuff. But
while y'all are talking, you hear this big ding, ding, ding. And Principal Horn has called everybody's attention into the cafeteria. The science fair is about to begin. Ladies and gentlemen, the science fair is about to begin.
Mom, I gotta go. I haven't even set it up yet.
Go ahead. I'm right behind you.
Paul, you walk in and it is hundreds of new faces. There is a table set and the principal is ushering everyone in and says, pick a table. Just pick a table, everybody.
I pick a table over toward, not like on the very edge, but two tables in, or like a table in, like toward the back.
Ooh, towards the back? Okay.
Sam. I think this looks like a good one.
Paul, you have picked your table. Sammy, your table is set up. Bobby, as your sister is setting up for this science fair event, you see two cheerleaders walk in. And they look you dead in the eye and just shake their head and sneer. You recognize one of them. Who is she to you?
That's Megan Meadows. Yeah. There's a bit of a antagonistic crush there.
Which way? Towards her or towards you?
I think we both have our own issues where I think we've dated friends of enough. I think I dated her friend and like we both are into each other, but we're also by social law not allowed to be into one another, and therefore we will just dunk on each other or say catty things going back and forth, but also it's like, yeah, kind of cute though, and try to like scramble to look cool while I'm setting up this. I think it's like the placard. I don't think I'm actually setting up any of the science stuff. Like I'm just setting up the placard right and just drop it and like flex
and
a bit
you're
as
not
I'm
setting up any of the important stuff.
The placard's really important. Look, the biggest thing about science is making sure that people know your name.
No, you're right. I didn't mean that it's not important. I meant that it's important. It's okay if it gets dropped. Like this other stuff, it's important that it doesn't get dropped. So yeah, maybe don't touch it.
Okay, I'll put it down. Like picks up something and immediately puts it back down.
I want to try and trip Megan. Is that what's her name? Megan, as she's going by. I don't know that he thinks she's cute. I just see him having this animosity, and she says mean things to him and he says mean things back. So clearly they don't like each other. So I'm backing my brother and would like to try and trip her.
Yeah, Megan, she's so stupid and mean. With me, she always has something to say.
I don't understand because you're like the coolest guy. And
thank you.
She's a butt.
Like I look into her beautiful blue eyes and I wonder how she could be so rude. That's crazy.
Please roll your brawn and please narrate how you would like to trip Megan Meadows as she's walking by in her fighting tarpons, school colors, cheer gear?
Cheer gear. I like it.
So sure. I would actually like to use one of my strength/abilities on this because my goal to trip her is as I feel like she's walking past us. So I'm going to turn my back to her and lean over, setting up something on the table. And I'm going to kick my Lisa Frank backpack to try and get it in front of her. So I'm calculating how my special skill is physics calculations. So I'm calculating how fast she's walking and how much force I have to push onto this backpack for the weight of what I know is in it with the rocks and the books to get it in front of her in the proper time where she can't stop before she hits it.
Amazing. May I interject really quickly? I just want to, since we're at this precipice, one starts with three adversity tokens. They will get adversity tokens when they fail rolls, when they utilize their flaws in roleplay, or they interact or face their fear as well. Or just for like really awesome things when we decide we want to reward you with an adversity token as well. So if you have a strength that utilizes that, you can utilize it now. And then I fade away into darkness. Alicia, you're still on.
So what was the check?
It's going to be your brawn. However, she's also going to roll and there will be a check to it. You have to beat her by at least 2. because she's in a hurry and she's walking through and nobody's looking for a Lisa Frank binder to come sliding out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be bad because my brawn is my 4, so let's all pray for exploding dice. Ugh, that's a 2.
Oh, no. Sometimes dice are not in your favor.
Excellent.
And it's a 4. Mm-hmm. Megan is walking by you, and she smirks at you, Bobby, and as if. And then she looks at Renee, her best friend, and says, he just always thinks that he can just look at me like that, and it just doesn't make sense. And Renee gives her this, oh shit, I'm in trouble look. Sammy, you kick your binder, and it just slightly misses. Can you tell me how?
I didn't account for how many people were going to be walking across the floor here and the sand that
actually affected the viscosity, and there was less friction, so it went too fast and too far and just kind of right by her. I don't know my own strength.
What the hell? Who's...
Sorry, can you get that, please?
Yeah, we need to get that back. Science.
It's got my notes. It's important.
Sorry, but real quick, just to interject, because you used your skilled at feet, even though you still had to roll, it gives you a +3 to your roll.
Rewind. How do you rewind it?
I had to double check that real quick. It gives you a +3 if you have to roll, or if it's like nothing to you, you don't have to roll at all. You just do it. So that's what the skill at feet does.
Thanks for that check, bro. That's why we have 2 dungeon masters.
Hey, rewind.
Tell me how you kick this thing. She's still walking by you, and she is still frustrated for some reason, and doesn't understand why Bobby even tries to give her the time of day. And Renee still looks at her like, ooh, I might be in trouble.
As I'm leaning over to set up my stuff, I am going to flick, and it's going to be like a very little princess kick with my foot flick back to try and slide the binder across the floor to hit right in front of her as she's walking by. And as she does, I give her a look up and down like,
who do you think you are, you hussy?
I say all of that with my eyes. With my eyes.
Oh, okay.
As she's looking back and forth, this Lisa Frank binder comes sliding out of nowhere, and she looks down and she sees that really childish purple and blue seahorse. She just looks at you and says, you have to have your little sister fight your battles, don't you, Bobby?
Oh yeah, well at least he doesn't look like he raises alpacas.
What does that even mean? And she just...
Exactly.
She just goes off so angrily, and you hear again one last time, Principal Horn reminds everybody that the science fair is starting in 5 minutes, and that you have moments to finish putting your things together, plug anything in that needs to be plugged in, and prep your speeches, as the Board of Trustees will be walking around the cafeteria momentarily.
Hey, Megan, don't you have somewhere else to be right now?
Don't talk to me, Bobby. Go back doing whatever you're doing with your little sister.
Hey, you started this. You know what? Just, you go that way, I'll be here. Finish it.
I said, shut up, Bobby. And Renee grabs her and says, let's go. We can't do this here. He pulls her aside, and they just keep walking.
See what I mean? Every time. Like, she's so, so mean.
She's the meanest, and I don't like her. And next year for the science fair, I'm going to make a ray that makes your butt big. And I'm going to shoot her with it first.
Paul. You have your table. Tell me what your table looks like. How's it set up?
Well, there's a trifold board, right? And it is covered on like along the top and like along the edges of it with turkey feathers, because my project is an investigation into the impact of pesticides on wild turkeys that forage off of the corn in Bucks Lake. And there's farmers that do use pesticides and there's farmers that don't use pesticides. And so I wanted to see whether or not the wild turkeys, which I will go and watch, whether or not they feed off of this farmer or that farmer more often. So I've got like a bunch of pictures of turkeys and like a little, like a couple of like little ears of corn. And it's just like a little.
Rhonda, what are you doing while he's putting corn ears on the table?
I think Rhonda is staying around the outside of the aisles, looking around. Paul's got it. And it's not that complicated of a setup. It's not like a big contraption. It's literally a bunch of pieces of paper and some feathers. He's got it. It's the information that's really important to Paul. It's the details. So I think I just want to scope out, get a sense of who's here. Because obviously Bethany's here. And yeah, I think I want to scope out if there are any old Terrapin folk.
Yeah.
So
from the good old days.
Right in front of you, Paul is in the back section of the cafeteria. And in front of you, you see there are three groups of individuals. There's one to the left, there's one to the right, and there's one in the center. Mm-hmm. And each of these groups have three people in them. Mm-hmm. In the left, you have an individual who looks like they may be a banker, a male banker. There is a short-haired female who is wearing cargo shorts and long white tube socks and white airwalks. Mm-hmm. And then on the other group, there's a third person who's nondescript. That's on the left. On the right, there is a group of girls who all have long hair, and it's all very up on their head, and it's big, and it's got a big bump on it. It looks like they might be wearing the thing from the commercial where you put it in your hair and pull your hair back over top of it to give you the auto bump.
The bump it.
And then they are all very much alike. And then in the center of the area, there are three individuals who look like they still might be playing another tabletop role-playing game in their basement while their wives are upstairs drinking martinis and playing cribbage with their friends. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go?
Ah, the cool kids. Yeah.
Ooh, the cool kids. Yeesh. I think I am going to go to... I think cargo shorts. I got to go to cargo shorts, I think. Cargo shorts was interesting to me. Businessmen, whatever. In fact, turning a little too far away from who I assume are the June bugs in that one group. So I'm going to turn a little too far away and duck a little bit and try to get to that first group that you described.
Do you beeline it? Is this a real quick get me out of here?
No, I think it's an attempt to be casual. She doesn't want to draw any attention. So it's going to fade with the crowd. She's going to Assassin's Creed it as much as she can.
She's not going to leap of faith it?
No. She's going to blend into the crowd.
Jump into a tank.
Rhonda. Hey, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, hey, Mom, does my poster look even? Mom? Mom? And he turns around and goes back to fixing it.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, you're walking towards them.
Yep.
And out of your right ear, as you are beelining it to the left, you hear a screeching. Mm-hmm. Rhonda! Rhonda's out now! Guys, it's Rhonda! Do you remember her from school? It's Rhonda, let's go! And the three June bugs just come bailing towards Rhonda and Sharon, with the short hair and the cargo shorts, looks up to you and says, Rhonda? Who the hell is Rhonda? And then the banker says, I don't know, but it looks like she might need some help. And she looks at him and smacks him upside the head and says, nobody likes help me, Rhonda, Sal. He looks at you. And Sharon says, you might want to run a little quicker. They're going to get you. And then they just keep going and talking. And the June bugs are coming your way. And I'm going to give the flip. My boss man over there.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not giving. We're flipping.
I don't have a coin. You got to flip for me.
Okay, here we go. So here's the flip. If you want to steal it or give it away, you are welcome to. Here we go. Here's the flip. It is you again.
Oh, okay.
But you can use it to give it to me if you want, but that's fine.
I got it. We're going to go.
All right.
You have found your way to Sharon, Sal, and they're just kind of minding their own business. They're not really engaging you. They're watching you because Sharon knows the June bugs are coming. Sure. And she doesn't want to have nothing to do with it. And Sal is just kind of leaning over, looking at himself. And he's humming the tune, help me, Rhonda, because he knows damn well that you're going to need a lot of help.
Sure.
No, go for it.
Okay. So go, damn it, Sal. I got you weed in the eighth grade. body them, and she's gonna take a left and go and try to get out the back door about the exit.
Does Rhonda have a maiden name, or is this Rhonda's?
We said it earlier. Did I say Simpson?
Yeah, but is that her married name or her maiden name?
Her name is Rhonda Clark.
Sal looks at you like dead in the eye, and he's a very reformed pothead these days, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Who are you? Why do you sound so different? He stares at you one more time, and as you're walking off, because you walked off, right? Are you hiding from him?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to try to get out of the exit door and fucking
he
bounce.
Says, and he just paused. Do you look back at him? Do you respond?
I would honestly like to roll I would like you to decide. Should I roll a fight or a flight?
How interesting do you want your time at the science fair to be, Rhonda?
I mean, it's going to be interesting regardless.
Let's go with flight.
Sure. Flight. That is my D4. That's a 3.
As he is screaming, your dank suck, Rhonda Clark!
Your dank sucks.
Wow.
What's going on with Rhonda?
Fighting words.
You're flighting. He's fighting.
Sure. I think she's going to freeze. She's going to duck down. She's going to put her hair in a ponytail. Yeah, she's going to pull. She's going to pull out her, like, jazzercise sweater. And she's going to put it all over her clothes. And then she's going to really try and sneak her way out. Just, yeah. Jumping out the second window.
Rhonda is on her way out, and Bethany, one of the three proud June bugs,
good old Bethany,
and good old Buxley, sees you putting on your jazzercise gear and says, they only want to invite you to the community jazzercise event. Just come. I know it's hard being back home. But I just saw you running away from us, and I thought I'd cut you off at the pass, because everybody knows this was your MO, and you would just leave when things got tough, but it's different these days. And she just gives you this look like in high school, that shit ain't different.
Mm-hmm.
She's still that girl from 1979.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what, Bethany? Yeah. You know what? You're right. You're right. It's time for me to stop. Yeah, you know what? I'll come right down and we'll do it together. You and me. Front of the line. How about it, Bethany?
She looks at you and she says, that's the spirit. Welcome back to Buxley, Rhonda.
Yay!
And she just goes to, like, high five you and kick her little leg out, and you can see her sock warmers on her ankles, and she is Olivia Newton-John out and ready to jazzercise.
I do not high five her, and I continue walking.
See you later. She Bye. Just keeps walking. Paul, Sammy, it is time for the 15th annual Buxley Middle School Science Fair, where first prize is $1,000 scholarship, $25 in McDonald's bucks to the McDonald's down on Main Street.
What?
And 5 free Book It pizzas from Pizza Hut. No lead in this semester, unless you want to. Are you ready for the 15th annual science fair?
Oh yeah.
Just a book. You say without the reading? That's awesome.
The crowd of nerds go wild.
Yeah!
I really need that scholarship.
I really want that
Bobby,
needless
did you
pizza.
Hear? Did you hear the pizza at the McDonald's, Bobby?
Yeah, you don't have to read the books. You can still go eat it. That's really, really cool. Like,
you can still read the books.
I mean, you could, but like,
does
the pizza's just there.
Pizza? Does that mean I get more pizza if I read the books?
I think that's right.
Pizza for reading the book and then that, Bobby. We're gonna have pizza all summer, Bobby.
I really live like kings, like pizza kings.
Sorry, I have to do my breathing exercises.
No, it's okay, ready?
Sammy, as you are breathing and Bobby is coaching, the board of trustees begins to walk the cafeteria. And oddly, they start in the back.
Oh, no.
The board of trustees is walking towards your booth. There are three of them. There is Principal Horn, a man who doesn't have a name. He just looks with a big old pot belly and doesn't wear his name tag, so nobody knows who he is. There is Mr. Reynolds. And then there is Mrs. Kirkpatrick. My pencil just broke.
Yeah.
So, Principal Horn, no name pot belly, Mrs. Kirkpatrick, and what was the other guy's name I just said?
Mr. Reynolds, Principal Horn.
Mr. Reynolds. My pencil broke halfway and I was writing Ray. And Mr. Reynolds, they have stopped in front of your booth. And Mr. Reynolds says, "Well, young fine man, what do you have for us today with corn? Is that corn from our silos, our world famous silos?"
Why, yes, it is, Principal Clark. Well, it all started.
It's Reynolds, young man. It's Mr. Reynolds.
Oh, sorry. Well, you see, I'm new in town, but that doesn't have anything to do with my project here. Let's see. Well, it all started when I got my birdwatching badge. I'm almost an Eagle Scout, and I am passionate about nature. And when we first came to Buxley, I noticed, and I said, "Gee, there's a lot of corn." And so that must mean that the local bird population would probably eat some of that corn. And then I had read an article one time about the negative impacts of pesticides on agriculture. So I made the hypothesis that if there were some farms in town that used pesticides and some that didn't, that maybe that would have an impact on how the local bird population fed on the wild corn. And here are my results. It turns out that the corn that doesn't get sprayed with pesticides is far more popular with the local wild turkey population.
Oh.
Very interesting.
Very much so. Can you do that turkey impression again? Mrs. Kirkpatrick says.
Sure.
I think we found a star in the new play, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to scare you. Please continue.
That was kind of it. It would be my recommendation that the farms in the area who do use pesticides consider not using pesticides as to benefit the local bird population. But it is currently inconclusive how widespread the impact of the pesticides are on other wildlife. Were I to receive this scholarship, I would use this money to continue my research.
Is that everything?
Yes.
And can you tell us your name one more time, young man?
Oh, yes. Hi, my name's Paul Clark.
Clark? Miss Kirkpatrick looks at you and says, "I should have known you were Clark. Congratulations on a well-presented project, young man." And she looks at you and smiles and turns on her heel.
Thank you very much.
I think you could have used a little more information.
Reynolds, that is rude.
Sorry, I feel that it was inconclusive and therefore we need more research. I'm so
Reynolds, he's the only student so far that has done anything research-based. Everybody else made a smoking volcano, and you love that. You love that kid's volcano, and all he did was put water on dry ice. Reynolds!
It's different. It's not the same as the vinegar and the baking soda. I just thought it was different, okay?
Reynolds. Miss Kirkpatrick just shakes her head and continues to go up. Reynolds, I need you to take point this time. I'm sick of you being so sure of yourself. These students don't know your name. Be nice to them, okay? Oh, look. Also, you need to be very careful. The next one, she's 7. And she's the youngest person here. And I've heard that you're perfect for the job, Reynolds. And I'll take notes, okay?
Fantastic, fantastic. Let's see. Hello there,
so
young
in,
lady.
Out, and then... Science on three?
Science at three.
All right, one, two, three.
Science! Yay! All of us together. Yes.
If you will direct your attention behind me, you will notice the machine that I have produced for today's science fair. I intend with this experiment today that I will be doing and here for everybody to see, the new and awesome power that I, well, it's not a new power that I have harnessed it in a new way, but I intend to prove that Tesla's alternating current is far superior to Thomas Edison's DC current, and that with my machine today, we will be able to charge all of our electronics in the future without using any wires at all.
Interesting. As the high school science teacher, this is fascinating. So you're saying the wireless charging method, that's what you're trying to accomplish here today?
I'm not trying to accomplish it, sir. I have, and you're going to see.
Well, I told you, Reynolds, you were perfect for this one.
We'll see. We'll see. This is very theoretical. This is
it's not more theoretical. Than 20 it's actually years, Tesla.
20 years away.
Reynolds.
Actually, Tesla utilized this exact type of technology to light an entire town and every light bulb in that town in the early 1900s without any wires.
Any wires. Yes, yes. I know the fables, of course. Let's see this so-called wireless charging.
Well, Mr. Reynolds, if you would like to be so kind as to pull the lever for me, do you have perchance a watch or a walkie-talkie or a Walkman or any sort of electronic device on your person?
Miss Kirkpatrick is going to rip his security walkie-talkie off of his belt and drag him with it and say, he sure does, Sammy.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sammy's going to expertly and quickly pop the batteries out, the only thing that she does in any sort of athletic manner ever, and hands the batteries to, Mr. Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. As you will see, we don't even need the batteries because this will actually charge the device itself, thus eliminating any need for battery waste. And I think that's good for everybody. Anyway,
I'm going to plop the walkie-talkie down on the table in front of my little laser steampunky futuristic looking. Yeah. Very like steampunk Death Star astropunk kind of device here.
A 1980s Reynolds. Science device, yes, of course.
Yes.
far too many wires and a lot of keypad over here for no reason.
A lot of panels are see-through and the wiring underneath is actually like neon multicolored.
Oh yeah.
So I actually used my old telephone for that part. Mr. Reynolds, will you please turn around and locate the long blue lever on the machine behind you?
He reaches over and he's gonna find the blue lever.
I'm gonna put on safety glasses as well as hand a pair to Bobby and a pair to Principal Horn.
Principal Horn is gonna grab them and look at Mrs. Kirkpatrick and say, I guess you need to turn around.
I only have three. I'm so sorry.
It's okay, dear. I'm just going to turn around and I'll take notes. So can you speak a little louder, please?
Okay, Mr. Reynolds, if you will please pull the lever.
And he's like, and does so.
I'm going to leave, actually, what happens to our DM.
As you are yelling at Reynolds to pull the lever, Mrs. Kirkpatrick is dying laughing on the inside because she does not like him and is fighting for his job as the head of the science department at the high school. And she's giggling so hard that when he doesn't look back, she kind of moves the lever a little bit and it just tilts it slightly towards her. So when he touches it and he hits it, the cafeteria goes completely black. And you hear Professor Horn say, it's fine, just wait, everybody, wait, don't do anything. And everybody starts panic for a second and scream. And all of a sudden, there's a lot of commotion and people are running around and things are getting really jumbled up as people are trying to find a generator or a switch, and nothing is happening. And so Professor Horn grabs her little light out of her chest and starts walking towards the circuit breaker in the cafeteria that's up by where the lunch lady stands. There's, you know, her little lunch lady stand, and goes over and notices that a plug has been unplugged over by Paul's booth. And she goes to plug it in and says, "Everything's okay, everybody." And as she plugs it in, there's this really weird crackling sound over by Sammy and Bobby.
It's not supposed to do that.
And Mr.
Sammy, are you okay? Kind of hard seeing you in here. What in the world is that?
And Mr. Reynolds screams. His hand.
It's definitely not supposed to do that.
His hand, it's not? Okay. It conducted a little bit of energy and he screams. And then the lights go out again. Like, it's a hot flicker, lights on, up, out, done. He's screaming. And then Sammy and Bobby, you're just staring at each other. And I need to flip.
Oh, you son of a bitch. All right. So flickering lights, everything's crackling, something is happening. Okay.
Electricity has gone through. He conducted something.
Sure.
That's definitely not... That shouldn't be physically possible.
It's me.
You! Yeah, enjoy!
I think on reflex, when you said it was Mr. Reynolds, starts screaming, I think Bobby just like grabs Sammy and like moves a couple feet back. He doesn't know anything that's going on there, but he's just like, okay! And just picks her up.
Calculation.
So she's trying to fix what's happening as her this crackling, the lights are on but flickering. You are grabbing your sister, and out of just sheer instinct of something is wrong, I have to get out of here. And she is fighting you in order to continue to fix, because her machine is now running at a different capacity than what she's used to. The lasers that are all pointed at the walkie-talkie are now brighter and more intense. They're actually beginning to like spin and spiral because it's all on some sort of circular mechanism, but it should only be going like one rotation every like second or every 5 seconds. It's going like super fast. Everyone is standing around. Again, the lights are flickering. I want you two to roll against each other. You are trying to stay and fix the problem, Sammy, and your brother is trying to get you away from it. So roll against each other, please. Tell me what you would like to roll for them. Potentially, I don't think you're fighting her. Probably Brawn.
Yeah.
Perhaps grit to withstand him pulling. Perhaps you can slip out with a flight. It's up to you.
Oh, I can slip out with a... Yes! All right, I'm going to use flight to try and hands up, drop down, go limp, and use gravity to get me out from under his arms so then I can scooch up to my machine.
Okay, so you're rolling against each other here.
This is a wild situation because that's a 12. because Bobby does trust Sammy a lot, but... She's also 7, and this is insane. Sure. Like, this is not like a volcano science fair project. This is like lethal.
Well, I'm getting an adversity token.
Okay, what did you roll?
If I got an adversity token, that means I rolled a 1.
Oh, no.
Okay, so you rolled a 1, and he rolled a 12.
But
so...
I have a +1 to my flight, so I got a 2.
So I'm going to pass narrative over to Bobby. Tell me how you're ripping her away from this machine.
I think she goes for it to try to restructure the calibrations on it. And Bobby just instinctually grabs her around the middle and just picks her up and is like, no, no, it's like when the Christmas tree caught on fire. We're not staying.
This is nothing like that.
It was short-circuited.
It's not possible. You don't understand.
I want to run towards the fire alarm, actually, and attempt to pull that if I can get across the gym.
Okay.
If I can just fix it.
So the machine continues to go
a little bit out of control. People are staring around. People are standing around. This doesn't, to Sammy, this could be dangerous. To Bobby, this is definitely dangerous. To everyone else, this is a cool light show for a science fair project. Like, oh, cool. There's like, you could use this at the disco or something, you know? Like, I hear there's these things called raves that people are really starting to like get into nowadays. This is really, so people are like, ooh, ah, I would like, as you're being pulled away, Sammy, can you roll me a brains roll?
Yay. Brains.
And we'll say that this roll is a 10. You're distracted at the moment. You are trying to fix the thing, but I'm going to see if you notice something. So brains.
It's a 4. But can I use my special skill of intuition to ask you one question that you have to answer honestly?
Yes. If you would like, you can spend your adversity token to use intuition instead of the roll.
I want to look at any of the power sources as Bobby, since Bobby's got me up on his shoulder, I'm up high, so I can see a little bit better. And I want to look at all the wires and the power sources and see if there's like a short or if somebody's plugged something else into my project.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you are quickly being drug away. You're trying to make these quick calculations. You're thinking, oh, the power source is plugged in to this ground wire, which leads over to the circuit breaker in which someone was trying to go over to the circuit breaker and fix. So you look over to the circuit breaker and you see it like sparking as someone has opened it up and turned it back on, which was, if I'm not mistaken, Mrs. Kirkpatrick's that went over to the circuit breaker. Someone correct me, please.
Principal Horn went over.
Principal Horn is over at the circuit breaker. So it's sparking in front of them and you see a sudden like bluish glow begin to engulf Principal Horn. Cut over to Paul. Paul, you are, it's over, it's done. You have given it your all. This is a new place and this is what you care about. You've given it to them and you're like relieved at this moment. You're relaxed and the power has gone out for momentarily. The principal goes over, is like, don't worry, everyone, it's totally fine. As the principal is making their way in the dark over to the circuit board here, what are you doing in the darkness?
I pull my backpack off and pull out my flashlight that I have with me.
Of course.
Because I've got, like, my eye, as a Boy Scout, is always meant mm-hmm. to be prepared. I have one with me. And so I pull my flashlight out, and I look around, and I see Principal
Horn.
Yeah, right. I see Principal Horn walk over. I say, oh, Principal Horn, what's going on? And I like walk to meet him or intercept him.
Yeah, Principal Horn is just like, oh, it seems to be a certain circuit breaker. I'm going over here really quickly. And they
let
open
me give
it
you
up.
A hand.
Are you sure? I mean, it's, you know, this is, there's a lot of things happening in the circuit breaker. So I'm not sure if you're.
Sounds like you could use a hand then.
Okay, friend. And he opens it up and looks at it. And this thing, to a normal person, looks like just like the front of an airplane, right? In the cockpit. There's just so many knobs, twists, and turns. But for you, as someone who may have some sort of electrical badge or something like that, I'd like you to roll brains for me to see how well you know the inside of this.
I'd be happy to. 16.
Great. He looks at it and he's like, oh. Very confused.
Principal Horn, if you don't mind, I do have my engineering badge. I do a little light electrical work on the side. Mind if I take a look?
I mean, of course, have at it.
All right, let's see what we got here. I think I see the problem. And I go to make a change.
You flip the switch. This is our Tarantino moment where you're flipping the switch. The lights come back on. They begin to flicker. The machine starts to whirl. And this blue light is engulfing you and Principal Horn. We cut over to Rhonda. Rhonda, you have just kind of like passed by. You've gotten out of this conversation. The lights have gone out. It's pitch black. This is your moment to get as far away from these people as possible. Suddenly, the lights click and you see your son over by this sparking circuit board, essentially. How are you feeling this moment?
Before you said, I saw Paul. Okay, that means I can see him. I'm running to him. It is dark. I'm running to my child. I was going to pull out a lighter and go through the crowd, but I think she's years in the restaurant industry. She is bobbing and weaving. Like, she could have been a professional football player. Just
no slip shoes.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. No slip shoes. She's got it. She's got it.
This is our mama bear seeing her cub in danger.
Yeah.
And as you are slow motion running towards this circuit breaker, suddenly this blue light shines on your son's face. You have never, except for one time, seen this sort of fear on your child. What are you going to do?
I won't scream into the microphone, but she's going to scream at the top of her long paw. And there's no more bobbing and weaving. She is elbows out. And as the crow flies, she will go. So if she has to go over somebody, like the cafeteria tables, like she called those fold-out tables or whatever, she will crawl across and kick somebody else's. She crawls across and fucking kicks over the dry ice volcano. And she like stamps on it as she crawls over that guy.
Coolest project.
and makes it and be like that to Paul, for sure.
Fantastic. This blinding light, Paul looking at you with this like fear, this like, help me, I'm in this situation, I don't know what to do. You dive in, you get your hands on Paul as this blue orb engulfs you. Cutting back over to the other two, a similar orb is being created within this spinning laser creation. It expands out in a small radius, and as we turn back to Bobby holding his sister, she's looking over, pointing at the circuit breaker. The two orbs expand and then collapse and are gone. The lights are no longer flickering. People around in silence and in shock are looking around momentarily. And then you hear and everybody begins to clap. Some cheers. Woo! Best science fair ever! And
did you see that?
Amazing.
And with that, we are going to take our break.
Woo! Yeah!
I didn't even realize what time it was.
Holy moly, perfect.
Hey, somebody's alarm.
That's my.
Nailed it.
So, yes, we are going to take a quick break. We will be back in about 10 minutes or so, and then we will continue our story from this crazy thing that happened. I don't know where it's going next.
Be my bodyguard.
Thanks so much, everybody, and we'll see you in a few minutes.